Anyway, we're talking about various giftings. Everybody say various giftings. And, you know, there's anointing for every gifting that we have. You can't just do something because somebody else is doing it. God, when God calls you, He equips you. Everybody say, when God calls, He equips. And in other words, wherever He sends you, He'll provide the means to get there and to keep you there. You can go where God wants you to go, and you can stay where God wants you to stay. Say, for instance, you had a fight with somebody in the church. We see a lot of that in the people, and people leave because they fought with another Christian member in the church, and they leave for another church. Well, that's not a way to solve a problem. You know, just go sit on the other side of the church until you're ready to deal with your problem, or sit in the back. You know, you have to deal with it somehow. So the Bible teaches us to live, to love each other. Now, love doesn't always feel good, because love is not just a feeling, it's a decision. Just as much as courage is not a feeling, courage is a decision. You make a decision to be courageous. You don't wait till you feel super duper, you know, fearless. You know, you have to make it, you have to decide to feel, to be that. So, here in Romans chapter 11, verse 29, Paul is writing to the church at Rome. Notice what what he says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. You know, God gives gifts. We have more than one gift. People can say, I have more than one area that I have. You know, one time we were doing, Pastor Ken and I were doing foundations class. We met with all the foundations graduates. We sat in there. One guy said, man, I got all kinds of gifts. You know, I could do this, I can do that, and I can, you know, he was just telling how wonderful he was. And then we never saw him again after he took the foundations. Anyway, notice it says the gifts and calling are without repentance. And I was looking at different versions of that verse of Scripture. The New Living Translation says, for God's gifts and His call can never be withdrawn. And the Amplified Bible says that if you look at the Amplified Bible, you know, never mind, God doesn't take back what He gives. He's not an Indian giver, as they say. Okay, so watch this. If you go to, let's go to the Amplified version. For the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. He does not withdraw what He has given, nor does He change His mind about those whom He gives His grace and to whom He sends His call. Now, you have to realize that when you're called to an office, God graces you or empowers you to do certain things. And that whatever God calls you to do, He'll empower you to do whatever He wants you to do. So, and then it's not like, you know, I think I want to be a nurse. Or I think I'm going to be a lawyer. That seems good, isn't it? Everybody likes a lawyer. You like a lawyer? Yeah. I remember one time I wanted to be a government worker. I was getting close to church then. A government worker. I wanted to work for the government because every summer I used to have a job. You know, they pay you real good working for the government as a student. And I make very good money, and I traveled. Travel to different cities, do conferences, and you act like you're important and you're just a student. You know, and you go to conferences and most of the time sleep. And anybody like that? One person? And so I thought, I worked there what they call, back before it used to be called the Indian Affairs Office. I don't know what they call it now. They changed the name now. So I worked there. And so I was impressed with people working there because they said, one guy said, I'm going to be, going up to another level. I'm going to get paid this much money now, and I'm going to change my, you know, my portfolio, and I'm going to have different kind of things I'm going to be doing. It's going to be exciting. And in about 3 years, I'm going to be retiring. I've got a full package I got a package deal here. I thought, man, that's wonderful. I want to be that. I want a full package. I want a good wages. Anybody here like that? So, I wanted to work for the government because, you know, you can have security. Everybody likes security. You know, we teach in the college. My wife and I taught for 18 years. We're supposed to be there only for a couple of months to supplement our work here at the church. And so we spent 18 years at college, going there in the morning and then just rushing to the office for our 11:30 meeting, just get there, you fall, you know, because you have to work. I remember teaching at night, or at least doing all my lessons at night, and then run to class for 8:30. Get here for 12:30. Not here in this office, but get here, get at the church for 12:30, and have my meeting till about 2. Then prepare ourselves for the Bible school studies, and then do Spirit Life television, and do videotaping, or do commercials, or work on planning, and then you rush at night, you're back home, and did that for 18 years. You know, because Pastor Hagin told us, you got to do what you got to do to be in ministry. I didn't have too much time to do anything almost. So we did that for a number of years. But, you know, God gives you the energy to do things. Felt like I was going to die sometimes. You're just exhausted sometimes. And because when I was in university doing my... My graduate work at university, I thought, man, I'm dying. It's just stress is killing me. I've got to read all these materials and go back to class. The classes are like when you go to a different level of training in university, your classes get smaller, and you have lots of discussion groups. You have to read stuff so that your teacher will ask you questions. Did you read article number 47? You know, to talk about this thing here. And then you have to talk. And that's how you learn in school. So, you know, you get exhausted. And some people used to say, well, I want to quit my job because I can't seem to function here in my work and I want to become a pastor. They don't work very much. Pastors only work Sunday. And all they do is get up and they teach whatever it's on their mind, and they don't really actually study. They just kind of lay around all weekend, watch TV, and then whatever they feel Sunday morning, just go ahead and pick up a scripture, start going on the direction, whatever, as the Spirit leads you. I had a lot to learn about ministry. But I learned some things, not because I was smart, because sometimes... out of ignorance and pain, begin to learn. There's a rhyme and a reason for different things. So, I learned that when God calls you, He equips you. And He calls you specifically to different things. When He calls you, if you're a pastor, He calls you to certain people in a certain location, not everywhere. So if I'm a pastor, I say, well, I think I'll just start pastoring in Atticoken. Well, God didn't call me out of Cookin. He called me here. I think I'll just start traveling. Well, God didn't tell me to travel. He told me to stay here. And I love to travel. It looks good, but it's exhausting. I remember traveling. After a while, after traveling lots, you're not that happy after. Right? You're just staying in a hotel. All you see hotel rooms and wondering where you are. But it's not like, you know, having a vacation. So we're equipped for something. You're equipped. Everybody here is equipped. But I'm just talking about the pastoral office. You can relate this to whatever you want. Okay, so it says, the point is when God calls you, He will anoint you or equip you. And when He does, He never changes His mind. He don't change His mind because, you know, like I can't just quit being a pastor because there's no money. There's no such a thing. Well, I'm going to quit the ministry because it's hard. There's no money. No, if God calls you, He'll equip you. I said, if God calls you, he'll equip you. And the people, you're not called to pastor alone. There's going to be other people that's going to come to work with you. God told Moses, I'm going to call you, but I'm going to call this guy. I'm going to call this guy. He's going to help me with this. He's going to help me with that. So I realized I wasn't called alone. You don't feel so lonely after. So the body of Christ is very interesting. The body of Christ is immensely large, a large organization all over the world. It's all over, scattered across the world and in many different parts of the world. There are different kinds of people. Some are old, some are rich, some are poor, some are northerners, southerners. There's all kinds of people. There are many who are called to work actually in the ministry, and for the ministry, or with the ministry. Many aren't, and some people are not operating in their area of what God calls them to do. Some people go in the ministry and don't end up living very long. Brother Hickens said, you know, I remember when Jesus appeared to him in a vision one time, he said, you know, here all my ministers right here. He said, I call every one of them guys that are there, but a lot of them are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're doing what they want to do. They ask me, they make a plan, they ask me to bless it. He said, I try to bless it. I bless it to a point where my will is concerned, but I can't bless everything they ask me to do because it's not in my will. Say, for instance, I say, okay, I think it's a great job. I think I'll build a big tower over here. Well, maybe God's not interested in towers. I might have to finance that on my own, and I'll be all stressed out. So many are called, Jesus said, Matthew 22:14, many are called, few are chosen. So it's up to us to receive and obey the calling of God, and we need to discern what the call is and where he wants us. Say, for instance, if you're in this church, did God call you here or did he call you over there? He didn't call you to run around. He called you to play. So God places you in the right place. He places you in a specific area. Notice over here, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. God is the one who strategically places us in the body of Christ as he planned it. And he has predetermined our calling, our gifts, and where we are to be utilized. He sets the times, the places, and the people. Paul uses the human body as an example of spiritual body of Christ. He says, but our bodies, I'm reading the New Living International, New Living Translation of 1 Corinthians 12:18. But our bodies have many parts, and God had put each part just where he wants it. He's referring to his body of Christ, his own body, the church. See, he puts us wherever he wants us to be aligned. Are you still here? Okay, God places us in the world as it places in the body. So notice he determines our geographical location. Everybody say location. So if you're in the right place, God will grace you. But if you're not in the right place, you're not going to work. You're not going to be operating in that grace. So he'll do what he can to help you out. Notice in Acts chapter 17, verse 26, I'm going to read the Amplified Classical Edition because it gives you specifically a little bit more information to show you here. And he made from one common origin, one source, one blood, all nations of men to settle on the face of the earth, having definitely determined their allotted periods of time and fixed boundaries of their habitation. Their settlements and lands and abodes. In other words, long time ago, God knows exactly where you're going to be. He knows where you should be. A lot of times say, what am I doing here? Why did I, what was I born here? I remember years I tried, try escaping around here. I tell my wife, we're going to escape. We're going to go to a better place where all the people love us every day. You know, everybody likes to be loved. How many people like to be loved? How many of you? Let me see your hand. You like to be loved. Can you wake that guy up there? Tell him if he likes to be loved. Can you wake him up? Push. Okay, yeah, that's you. Yeah, okay. Don't fall asleep in my service. I'll have to stand up and wake you up. Anyway, everybody likes to be loved, right? So we're understanding, like, you know, we talk about you know, psychology talks about, you know, some theorists say this, you know. We all want to have, you know, be valued. Everybody wants to be valued. We all want to be loved. We all want to have some significance and purpose in our lives. We don't want to just kind of aimlessly run around, you know, do I belong in this group? Am I belonging here? And what if I join that group? Did it reject me? And so on and so forth. You know, there was a show and the theme song that everybody, we go in a place where everybody knows your name. You remember that show? What was it called?
Cheers.
Cheers. Everybody say cheers.
Cheers.
Come on, say cheers.
Cheers.
So we all want to go. We all want to go where people know our names, right? Because it's nice. You know, people, they say, when people say our name, we just go, you know, we just love it, right? And there's an old show back in the 70s, I believe it was. Maybe the 80s, I think. The King of Kensington. How many remember that? Yeah. All the old people. The King of Kensington, he would walk down the street, the Kensington Street in Toronto, we've been there. Walk down the street, everybody waves at him, hey, he knows everybody, shakes everybody's hands, you know. Yeah? We want that, don't we? We want everybody to know our name, walk into the bar, cheers. Woo-hoo-hoo, we're celebrating you today. And we want to walk down the street and everybody knows us. You know, in the body of Christ, it's the same thing. We want to be where we're supposed to be valued and to be welcome. And so that's what we'd like to do. And so, but God knows where you're supposed to be. For instance, if you're a nose in the body of Christ, and you stick your nose in the back of your head, that's going to be very uncomfortable. Maybe some people, they're an arm or part of an arm, but then you try to use your arm as a leg. That's not good. So we're equipped to do what we're supposed to do in the body. We're sent exactly where God wants us to be. And when you're there, you fit right. Right? So, I believe we're called to serve and called to serve certain people. Notice over here, Galatians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. I believe God has called us to certain locations or places and with certain people, you know, in the land. Like Paul was called to the Gentiles and Peter was called to the Jews. It says here, Galatians 2, 7 and 8, New Living Translation. Instead, they saw that God had given me the responsibility. Everybody say, they saw God had given me the responsibility. Notice this, of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as he's given Peter the responsibility of preaching to the Jews. For the same God who worked through Peter as an apostle to the Jews also worked through me as an apostle to the Gentiles. They were both apostles, but one was sent this way, another guy was sent the other way. What if Paul said, well, I don't like going to the Jews, to the Gentiles, they're mean. I want to go to the Jews. No, that would not have been God's, he would not have been blessed like he should have been. See, you need to be where God wants you to be. I said, you need to be where God wants you to be. And that's where the blessing is. Pastor Hagin has a message called, A Place Called There. Because that over there is where God wants you, and that's where your blessing is. So, God has predetermined our place and time and our anointing and the flow. And in other words, it flows out to people. John 7, 38, 39 says, he that believeth on me, as the scriptures had said, out of his belly, that's his spirit, shall flow rivers of living water. See, this particular scripture, Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit, the gifting of the Spirit of God, flowing out of us and for other people. This river of life, this river is not meant for us, it's for somebody else. It flows out of you. Somebody was saying, you know, if you're not happy, check on what you're doing. Is that what you're supposed to be doing? Is that where you're supposed to be? You know, everybody wants security. But you don't have security unless you know exactly where God wants you to be. We all want security. I know psychology says the same thing. They study different things. People always want to be secure. We want to have safety. We want to be provided for and cared for. So there are many parts of the body of Christ. There are many people in the church. We have all kinds of callings. Everyone is gifted differently, maybe on different levels. God wants us to be useful. Let's read Romans chapter 12, verse 4 to 9. New Living. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has special function. So it is with the body of Christ. Many parts, one body. We all belong to each other. And in His grace, God has given us different gifts to do for certain to do certain things. Well, so if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out as much as faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, then give generously. If God has given you the leadership ability, take that responsibility seriously. And if you have the gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. You know, some people have a little bit more anointing on giving. Some have a little bit more anointing on serving. I come here sometimes, you know, different times of the day, I just come and forth. And I come here, I hear noises sometimes downstairs. What is that going on there? And then we see people working down there. There's a crew in the basement. Hard hats and white hats and clanging around. There's people working down there, say, because they decide they're going to serve. Come here sometimes on Saturday night and I see people cleaning up the bathrooms, cleaning up my office. And you ever notice that if somebody cleans your office, you can't find stuff? You can't clean your, you know, hey, where, tell my wife, you know, she cleaned up my, my wife said, I want to clean your office. That's my house, you know. And I'm looking for books. I said, where's my book? He said, oh, it's there. So we have a big fight Saturday night before church. Then we come to church like this. Oh, how you doing? No? Did anybody ever fight before church this morning? Well, thank God for His grace, right? I was at a committee meeting yesterday. We were doing this. I'm on this committee working on this St. Joseph's Residential School thing. So there's a bunch of us working together. There's three of us main people, but there's a whole pile of people working. And so we got into some kind of a, people weren't doing their jobs, and I'm just sitting there, I just want to be helpful. I've been seeing this meeting going on, something going on, you know how many people, you don't like to have anybody tell you what to do, right? I won't go any further than that to say, nevertheless, there was a conflict. And it reached the maximum conclusion, and we're all working well. Everybody's good. So these scriptures reveal and verify there's various gifts and callings within the body of Christ. And here Paul uses human body as an illustration. And these three words we need to look at here. He gives a special insight to what's said here. He said calling. Over here in Romans 12. You know, calling is what's your purpose in life? Ask yourself, what is your purpose in life? We like to get up in the morning to know exactly what our purpose is. And so your main purpose has a lot of little other things that you do in order to stay focused. You get up in the morning, you realize, here's my purpose. So you know what you're called to do. You feel good. You feel strong. If you have a purpose, you're a whole lot stronger than if you didn't have a purpose. Some people said, you know, once they, I'm not going on you, but they retire and then they die 2 years later, whatever, because you don't have a purpose. You got to have a purpose. Even if you have a job. A job is just a job. It's not your purpose. Right? So there's other things you have to do. There's a higher calling than just to, you know, work at whatever you're doing. There's other things you do. So in other words, there's another word here that we look at is gifts. So calling, the calling of God refers to the purpose of your existence. And gifts are what we call, you know, in church circles, you call them the anointing. Or you could call it in a very practical level, the tools. Or I could say this, the gifting to what God empowers you to have in order to do your purpose. Okay? Thank you, Jesus. Now, there's another interesting word here. It talks about an office. God calls us to an office. You know, that's the function that we do every day. The office is our function. We're functioning every day. We're doing different things. So I don't ever come here and think, oh, Lord, please anoint me. No, you know, when God calls you, He'll anoint you. I never come here thinking that it's not going to work. When God calls you, He anoints you. Now, here's something that I learned from Brother Haggett. He said you could actually increase your anointing in any time you minister. You can increase that anointing depending on two very things. Number one is that if you stay full of the Word of God, and number two, you pray. There's two things that make it effective. When I minister, or anybody ministers, number one is if I come prepared. Now listen to this. I can come prepared, but if you're not prepared, you don't get anything. The anointing of God will be there, but if you're not prepared to receive, nothing is going to happen to you. Now listen to this. Watch this. There are people in this room. They want a visitation from God. Everybody wants to hear from God. Everybody wants to hear what God wants them to do. And spectacularly, you know, we've heard this from Brother Hagin, people are missing God. They're looking for the supernatural, or they're looking to the spectacular and missing the supernatural. They don't realize this. Here's something happens. I was looking at someone, and they were mentioning this, that every Sunday and every Wednesday at least, God has an assignment for you to come to church, and if you miss that, you miss what God wants to tell you. See, they forget that a pastor is one of God's visitations to you on a regular basis. God visits you through the pastoral office regularly. He's called to do, number one, to teach you the Word of God. I don't have to be so highly skilled to teach you something. It's through the anointing that teaches you. I remember someone told me, I was 30, 32. They said to me, "What can you teach me? You're just a boy." Of course, when I was 30, I still looked like a boy. And she was right. In some ways, you know. I didn't like it because when I was younger, you know, when I was my teenagers, like I didn't look like I was a teenager. I looked like about 11. And they would say, if I visit someplace, they'd say, "What's your name?" I said, That happened to us one time, you know. One of our workers here in the church, and this guy, I think he's in his 20s. And he's a little 3-foot guy. And he's there with all the youth and everything, and the worker says to him, bend over, "So, and what's your name?" And he comes up, "Well, my name is Steve." But isn't that funny? You know, it all gets back to you later on. I thank God that, some people who look old. I had a friend in high school, He had a beard. I mean, we were like this. Like he's 14 years old. He's this little young little. I don't know if he was a Greek or Italian, whatever he was. He was like that. He's got this big, like Sly and the Family Stone kind of a. We're like this. We couldn't believe it. Pastor Ken, that's why I look like this here. So anyway, people. You know, people are called to the ministry. God calls them. He doesn't have to wait for you to be some kind of mature level. But God sees you. He sees you faithful. He puts you in. And that's the only way God increases you is through faithfulness. You look at through all the Bible, you find it always has to be with faithfulness. You're consistent, you're loyal, and you keep doing what God calls you to do. I remember crying one time when I was going to do some work, and I was like crying my eyes out, you know, in my young ministry, and crying like, "Where's all those people that's going to help me serve and all that stuff?" And the Lord said to me, "Did I call you to do that?" I said, "Yeah." "Then you be quiet and keep doing it. Smile, like it called you." And so that's what maturity level I see other people around here. They'll do things, and no one has to tell them. No one has to pat them on the back and give them a certificate once a month. You serve faithfully once a month. No, they just do it because they sense in their heart that's what they want to do. Because they've been trained well in the church. And they don't have to have everybody pushing them ahead. They're just continually faithful. Faithful, faithful. Like I've been here since 1991. And I come regularly, every service, even if I'm in town, if I don't preach, I'm here. I could go away, you could go away for 6 months, you go away for 2 years, I'll still be there. If I'm not dead. I'm one of the most consistent persons you'd ever meet in your life. I'm always there, I'm always there. You call me. Right, my friend, you call me and I'll answer you back. I might just give you an emoji. And a lot of times I'll tease people with emojis. They think I'm being serious or something, but I just want to just make contact with you. Sometimes I'll send something that's not, I hope you don't take offense, because sometimes I'll send something that's kind of too funny. That, you know, like my stepmom, when I came, was living with somebody. I was living with a family. And I would always listen to, I would laugh at slapstick. If somebody fell off a roof and fell over on the, I would laugh. He said, "Roma, I don't know why you keep laughing at people who fall. Why do you find it funny when people have a disaster?" "Well, I don't know. I just look, it looks funny." But she was so realistic that she couldn't believe that, you know, this guy could have broke his neck, and you're laughing. Well, Curly, Mo, and Joe, and those guys, they always hit each other with hammers and stuff, and back in those days. Now, watch this. If you go to the, let's go to a couple of scriptures, and we're gonna end this. Somewhere. I just felt I needed to teach you something about pastoral office. Now, if you would go to, let's see here. Let's go to Ephesians 4 and 18. Ephesians 4, 18. Okay. It says here, therefore, he says, verse 8 and 11, Ephesians 4, 8 and 11. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Everybody say, he gave gifts to men. So the gifts he's referring to is in verse 11 when he says this. So the gift, the pastoral office is a gift to the church. Because it's supposed to be a blessing to you, right? So verse 11 says, watch this. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, these are what we call the fivefold offices, the fivefold ministry office. That's not an exhaustive office, but there are other offices, but these are the main offices that we has pointed out to us a lot. And each office has different giftings in it to actually make it more meaningful. Apostles. They're called sent ones. The word apostle is a word, Greek word apostolos, means sent one or a special messenger. They're called to do a special, give a special message, and Paul was, and he did a special work. And these guys, according to the scriptures, they have signs and wonders and miracles consistently in their ministry. That comes with it. It comes with it. You don't just pray, Lord, give me some sign. No, it just comes with it when God deems it's necessary. A lot of times Paul showed up, miracles showed up. Things happened. You could actually feel his words. When he spoke, you could actually feel his words. He said, this is God speaking. And, he says, you could almost feel my words because that's a sign to you that I have been called. And so when things happen, it's a sign to you that this man or woman or whoever is called is a sign that God placed that person there. Do you think that Catherine Kuhlman had God approved her by signs and wonders? Yeah, he did. Prophets. Prophets are, they are, you know, there's a difference between the Old Testament prophet and New Testament prophet. You know, in the Old Testament, they were the only ones that had the anointing that come upon them and they speak out. Today we have more than that. We have, everybody is kind of like a prophet, because the anointing God comes on you doesn't mean you're a prophet. But here's this guy, the prophet here. He's someone who speaks out of sudden inspiration, and they usually have the gifts of revelation in them. They could know things about you. They could have words of knowledge for you. And words of wisdom and discerning of spirit. They can tell things about you. I can sit here and read your heart. That's a prophet. I've had that come upon me certain times. I know exactly what that person is going through. But I'm not a prophet. But that's a gift of the Spirit. The pastoral office has a certain amount of that in his office. We had here, I think it was 21 girls on that was brought in by a number of people on Wednesday night. How many of you were here Wednesday night? You saw the anointing. You saw the demonstration of power. Well, in fact, one girl at the end of the thing there, she hugged me so hard. It startled me. And she loved me so hard. I can just feel the love coming from this woman because of what the power of God was doing. These people were drug addicts to the lowest level, and God touched them. And God, they were shaken under the power of God, and they were crying, and they were weeping, and crying, and weeping. And I said, the Lord said to me, they're not crying because they're hurting. They're not in pain. They're rejoicing. I pointed at that woman and said, you're not crying because you're hurting. You're crying because you're happy. And she was crying and weeping and crying, weeping because the Holy Ghost came upon her. You ever felt this way before? Never before in my whole life. It's a sign and a wonder to them that God's working among them. Now, you could go and they could just go somewhere and they could lose all that. That's why you need a pastoral office, which we're going to get to maybe next few weeks. Come over there. So an evangelist is someone, his main message is Jesus. He preaches every time he gets up, it's Jesus. Every time he gets up to a place, he's Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the afternoon, Jesus in the nighttime. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Salvation, salvation, salvation. And guess what? He has the power gifts in operation all the time. When he gets up, the power gifts always operate. What is it? Miracles. Gift of faith is working. Healings. That's consistently with that office if you're a New Testament evangelist. What sometimes people get mixed up is an exhorter, mentioned in another place. An exhorter is somebody who is, he also preaches Jesus, but he doesn't have those gifts continually in his ministry. There's a difference. Now, a pastor is a teacher. A teacher will teach. He'll expound on things very clearly, but his main message is to teach the people, to make them grow. Pastor's office, same thing, just feed the people the Word of God. This guy, pastor, he's a stationary guy. He doesn't go anywhere. He stays right here all the time. He's available all the time. 24 hours a day, I'm here. Except I keep my phone off. I say, oh, is that Charlotte? Just get her off here. So a pastor's office, guess what his giftings are? One of his giftings is administration and leadership. Somebody said if you call yourself a leader, nobody's following you, you're just taking a walk. How do you gather people together? And, leaders have people who follow them. And they want to be with you. And they'll actually pay to get to be with you. This man right here, he actually pays. He pays me for working with me. I've never met a man like Pastor Ken. He's truly my son in the faith. He's truly a Timothy. I would chase him away. He'd come back again. He paid me money to work with me. That's the kind of calling he has towards me. He'll come and cut my grass. I didn't ask him to cut my grass. He'll cut my grass. I said, you don't have to cut my grass, Pastor Ken. He called, oh, no, I'm going to cut your grass. It almost embarrasses me. Here's $1,000. One day he gave me $5,000. I thought, Pastor Ken, $5,000? Where'd you get that from, the kitty? But the kitty was good. The kitty was good. I went to his place the other day. We drove in. I went with him because we had to go somewhere. I had to do some business with him. He comes to his, opens his garage door. He shows me this nice red bike. I thought he was going to give it to me. He said, I got a nice red bike. It's automatic. You can ride it. He said, go ahead and ride it. He rode it. I could see him peeking at me all the way through. But see, there's some people there. It's a gifting. It's a gifting for him. He doesn't pray all day long, Lord, please give me love for Pastor Roma. No, it's put there. God put it there. Pastor Steve, same thing. He just goes ahead and does stuff. And so we're all in the same thing. We came here. I said, Lord, if I'm called, I don't think I'm called alone. You're going to call other people just like me that want to do these things. And Pastor Higgin told me that if you're a pastor and you're spending all your money on paying your salary, then you got to find something else to do to work so that you can have other programs. So we worked in this church. We paid ourselves to work here for most of the years we've been here, and gave up a good job. We gave up we gave up careers, and we went to work here as a missionary in our own hometown. Hello? Pretend they're not walking. So we had to give up, and we paid a price. Our family paid a price. We didn't have children's church. We had to do other things. A lot of the first families who worked with us, they suffered. Because we didn't have all of the fancy stuff. And it was tough. But a pastor, the scripture said, Jesus said, a pastor will lay down his life for the sheep. And if you're called to be a pastor, I mean, I'm talking about the kind of pastors that they talk in the Bible. It's not just a career. Like too many people today, they call themselves pastors because they have went to Bible school and they can preach. They can go out and preach. No, a pastor is someone who takes care of a congregation every day. And feeds them every day. They don't just run away because I feel like I want to change my job. No, I'm here regularly. These guys are here regularly. Day in, day out. Every holiday. We don't go on holidays. We're here all the time. I don't think I ever took holidays for many, many years. You know, we took holidays 2 weeks at a time. Maybe sometimes. Don't even know. I'm missing. I've come back on a Sunday. So a pastor, his main job is to feed the flock of God. Three things: to feed, protect the sheep, and to guide them regularly. Make sure they're fed, nourished, and that they're trained. It says, if you read that, the rest of it is that the pastor and the rest of the ministry gifts teach the people to work the ministry. Serve. Teach them about their personality so they get together. That's why we have training. We've been doing this since 2000. We have a three-hour session for that many years. Once a month, 3 hours a month, consistently. Didn't miss, just continually have it all the way through since that time. Never stop, never deviate, unless we switch around, we do the three-month thing. We've done that. Only because we were getting tired and we had to do other things as well. Because we've got Bible school as well. We're here Sunday morning. We're here Tuesdays. We do Spirit Alive. We're here Wednesdays. We do Bible school on Tuesday nights, Wednesday nights, Sunday night. We have Bible Sunday morning, and the special sessions we have for other things. So we're continually moving ahead. So we need people to serve in other areas. We had to lay down these guys. I said, guys, you need to have a rest, because I know how I feel. They're every Sunday, every Wednesday, they're here. Lisa has to show up every. She runs from her work and come here and sing, and prepares herself to do the music, and the musicians come every Sunday, every Wednesday. How would you like to be here every Sunday and every Wednesday, every Sunday, every time, every year after year? That takes consistency. That takes some stability in your life. To be there no matter what. Right? It does. On a regular basis. Continually doing that. So the ladies that came here, some of the ladies came from the reserve. They said, oh man, they said to me, Roma, we were disappointed. The best part of the service was the music. Oh, I didn't mean you. You're good. So they're there, so I said, you need a break. So we gave them a break for August. Say, don't do music on Wednesday nights. You just have a holiday for this time. Just go ahead, do whatever. Have a break. So if you want music, more music, and we do, we want more people. If you can play the guitar, you can play one chord, you're in. Huh? If you can do that, you don't have to have everything done right away. You can just start right away next week. The anointing will come on you. And all of a sudden, you're like David. Amen? No, I know I didn't teach too much about the pastoral office, but I want to encourage you to stay within the calling and to do what God called you to do and to be where God wants you to be and find out your purpose, find out what giftings you have. Right? And this be released right now in the name of Jesus. Let's go ahead and stand up. We do have a Bible school that can help you with the specifics of that. We need musicians, singers, guitar players, drummers, lead guitar, bassists, keyboard players like this woman coming. How many years have you been playing here? We've been here since... Well, we've been here since 91, right? But you came later than that, right? Yeah, a little bit later than that. But you've been here most of that time. Yeah. And Lisa too. Yeah. Praise God. And Pastor Steve's been here. 13 years. Look at him now. Look at him. I was watching him this morning doing his... I was getting so blessed by watching you. You got a gifting. I wonder if you could teach 4 or 5 other people. Okay. And you can teach other people too, right? If they want to, if they have the skill, ability to do it, they can do it. Practice. I can do that. You want to start next week? Daryl, you're a good singer. We'll start you next Wednesday. Who? Charlotte? Charlotte, let's get her doing. You're going to be a special singer, Charlotte. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you in this meeting this morning. I know we kind of got all silly on stuff, but we know that there's a serious side to the calling. Whenever you call someone, you'll equip them. You'll empower them to serve you. And so each one here has been exhorted. I know this is an exhortation time, exhorting to the people to know their purpose, to know the plan they have for their lives and what they're gifted with and how they can use or employ their gifting to serve you on a week-to-week basis, day-to-day basis in the body of Christ. Some people are administrators. They're serving you in the office. They write letters. They phone call. They do all the stuff with the computers, and they have given. There's people here like that we need them. We need people to publish materials that we have that are ready to go out right now. We ask you for those people. We ask you for people who can work with computers, writers, not only just musicians, but those people that can do that, work with kids, work with adults, work with the elderly, start new programs. We're asking in the name of Jesus. We're praying right now together that you can, the people out there, the people that are listening online, they'll fulfill the call of God on them. They'll be more happier than ever, and they'll be more protected, more empowered. We thank you that everyone here, in the name of Jesus, that their calling of God, we bless each one that they will follow your plan and your purpose. And we're going to pray this one prayer of dedication to God. There's a prayer called the prayer of dedication that we're going to serve our communion together. We're going to do that right now. Ushers, pass everybody an emblem of the body and blood of Jesus. And we're going to pray the prayer of dedication that Jesus showed us to pray. Thank you, Lord. Are the children coming in? Yeah, okay. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Everybody say, thank God for his goodness. So the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. It's so good to understand that, because his mercy is new every day, every single day. Hallelujah. Now you have to bring back your children, your husband, your wife, your kids back to church. Amen? We need to invite our relatives back to church. Those of you at home, thank God you're watching. But we want to have you home. If you can't make it, thank God you're online. Thank you, Jesus. So communion, there's a reason why we're taking communion, and that is to remember the covenant. The covenant, Jesus died for you. He went to hell for you, and he rose again the third day from the dead. He didn't just die physically, but he died in the spirit too. He became sin for you, the Bible says. He became just like you and me. So there's a benefit of communion, and that is to remember what he did. He paid the price for whatever you need in this life. You need healing? It's in the covenant. This is what it's all about. You need direction in your life. You need support. You need strength. It's right here. Strength is here. God says, I'm going to give it to you. I know you were joking this morning about the... Somebody was joking this morning that, you know, they wanted a husband. I know that was a joke, but God can give you a husband who doesn't snore. You know? And one that doesn't wake you up at night, like my wife. I snore, so the Lord equips her with a special earring thing inside her. Right? Yeah. Mary, God bless you. Mary Sequat, The Lord is talking to you. Yes. The Lord is talking to you. Hallelujah. We're all going to eat this together. If you ate it already, you have to get another one. Brother Bruce, I love you, my friend. We had a good time yesterday, me and Brother Bruce. We ate Finn pancakes. He took me for breakfast. I said, about time. He teases me once in a while, that guy. He's a real nishnav. Okay, are you ready to eat this? Remember what Jesus did for you? That's what we're doing this. Remember, Jesus said, Paul to the Corinthians, I'm giving you this message, what Jesus told me to do. To do this in remembrance of me, what happened on the cross, what happened when he went down, what happened when he rose up. He's at the right hand of the Father right now. And whatever you need this morning, healing, direction, money, support, energy, whatever you need, you take it by faith right now because it's provided. Father, we thank you for the blood and body that you bore for us, our sins, and poured out the blood, and you cleansed us from all our sins. And we're brand new because of it. Let's pray the prayer of dedication together. Say, dear God, I thank you that you're my Savior, dear Jesus. You're my Lord. I yield my whole self to you, spirit, soul, and body. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to do what you call me to do. I know it's never too late. I'm coming back to you, not because I've walked away from you, but because I steered a different direction. I'm coming into the plan of God to serve you 100%. There is a purpose for my life, a plan for my life. And I thank you for the equipment to do what you call me to do. I do have a function, and I will function in that unction. In the name of Jesus, thank you that I'm healed, I'm prosperous, and I'm successful, and I'm protected. I'm led by the Spirit of God. I have no needs unmet. All my needs are met in Christ Jesus. I thank you, Lord, the devil is under my feet. He has no authority in my life, over my finances, over my family, over my children, over my work, over my business, and over every plan that you have. Satan, get your hands off my life. And right now, I release the angels of God to help me to do what God called me to do and keep me safe and healthy. In Jesus' name.